What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Music's Journey Podcast, where you can hear more about the artist, the band, the lyrics, and music. I'm your host, Kim Sear. Before I jump into my interview, there are a few things that I would like to go over first. If you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show and really helps us to grow the community that we are developing here. If you are someone who has recently found our podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you here, so please make sure that you subscribe and stay tuned to our future podcasts. To everyone listening, please take a screenshot and post this on your Instagram story and tag Music's Journey Podcast and Now and Then Magazine. I will feature you on the account and message you as well. Here's my interview with Canadian country's hottest new duo, Monroe and Patrick.
It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey Podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With your special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
Welcome back to Music's Journey. I am so excited about today's show. Multi-award-winning artists Heidi Monroe and Scott Patrick are here today to talk about their exciting new duo project that they've done together, their co-write and their new EP that's just come out called Give Me Your Rain. It is so exciting to see these two together and creating such an incredible power duo. So we're so happy to have them here. Welcome to the show, Heidi and Scott.
Yay!
Hi.
We are so happy to hear about this duo. How excited are you both finally to be able to co-write together, you know, during this amazing project that you guys have started, Scott?
It's been great. Like, we started writing probably a couple summers ago. So, I mean, we had kind of just, a few tunes that we had started writing. We had already been working, doing shows together that were more like kind of cover type shows. And then we decided to, you know, try the writing thing and see how it goes. And we're right off the bat really happy with the results. And it's great now to hear the songs, you know, completed on the EP. It's a great feeling.
Well, I know that both of you have had such great success, you know, in your careers in the music industry. Heidi, you've been a professional in your career for such a long time now, multi-award winner, solo artist. Tell us a bit about your background so that our international fans can get to know who you guys are.
Okay. Well, I started out in the country music industry, as probably the majority of artists in Saskatchewan. And I did some touring, spent a week in Nashville recording there. And, you know, fast forward for many years later, I love all kinds of music. I've always gravitated towards many, many different genres. And probably about 15 years ago, I started working a little more in the blues and the jazz scene and the R&B and the soul music, and really fell in love with that as well. And having been an artist in Saskatchewan, in order to make a living in it, you know, you've got to be able to play all kinds of music and please an awful lot of people. And so those influences, I think those collective influences, really comes out in the songs we write as well. Scott and I really enjoy the same kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
I just spent many years doing what I love to do, and I've been very fortunate to do it both.
You've also produced and performed the highly acclaimed sold-out show that's Passion of Amy Winehouse as well.
Yes. That was a vision that I had for probably 2 or 3 years, and without even really thinking about it, I just decided to go for it and just let happen what was to happen. And it was a pretty risky show. You know, I think it was about 50-50 whether people thought it would really fly and be supported.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a niche artist, extremely talented, extremely underrated. And Scott actually sang in that show as well. There was,
mm-hmm.
there was a 10-piece band. There was a set, there was signage, everybody was all dressed up, and it was really, really great. It was a great experience to do that. And then I've done a few other show projects as well. But as a solo artist, you know, I lean towards the blues and the Americana, the kind of crossover music that is reflective and rootsy of country music as well. So.
Mm-hmm. And it's so popular right now too. And you know,
oh, it is
huge, it is. On the music scene right now. And I know that I know for you, like, that was such a great show, and like you said, that was a big chance to take. But Amy Winehouse is, you know, got such incredible fans around the world who may not have known her so much until she was taken. Yeah. And you know, and it's incredible to see the love that's out there, you know, for her music. And I'm so happy about that, because she was an artist, you know, all in her own lane.
Oh, you know, for sure. And for the people of Saskatchewan, I think that it was a pretty risky show to do. I don't know whether it was out of me dreaming or being naive or whatever, just hoping that it would work.
Look how well it turned out. Sold out crowd. So, you know, that's pretty amazing accomplishment, in knowing how much your vocals lent to her story, to her lyrics.
Thank you very much.
Very, very cool. Very cool. Now, what was your favorite moment on stage so far in your career, Heidi?
Mine? Oh, boy. You know, this sounds really quite strange probably, but I don't have a particular favorite one. I know that when I've been able to open for a really big artist, for some international artists, you know, that was, it was a great feeling, but I think that so many of those experiences bring about the feeling that really excites me. And I really can't pinpoint a really favorite one, I don't think. I think the experiences of working with some unreal musicians, of meeting some fantastic people. When I opened for Loretta Lynn, that was really cool.
Nice.
I think it was the very first or second year of the Big Valley Jamboree, and I was many years younger than I am now. that's when Garth Brooks had played out there, and he played the same day that I was there, and he was standing off stage while I was finishing. You know, like, times like that, you know, you think are pretty cool, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of great memories. Like Scott and I have had some really incredible moments on stage singing our own music. And, you know, there's just those times, just those feelings that you know that, this is really great.
This is what you're meant to do.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? And those feelings even more when you're doing your own music and you see the reactions of a crowd, whether small or large, mm-hmm. or moments just between the two of you on stage that you know it's working really well.
I think that's what most artists talk about. You know, they can play the biggest stadiums in the world, but, you know, when you're sitting back and you play those intimate settings, and it might not be for very many people, but it's just the energy in the room and the connection with your lyrics and your music that makes all the difference. So it may not necessarily be the biggest stage, right?
Yeah, and that is really, really true. And, you know, and even as times that we're starting to get through, admittedly so, it's been pretty depressing. It's been sad. It's been very emotional. It's been, you know, as artists, we're beating our head against the wall. Scott and I were very fortunate to be able to work quite a bit, mm-hmm. even through all this. But it's those times you miss. It's those feelings you miss. Mm-hmm.
I know it's not easy, and we're going to get into all the, you know, the last year and a half and what it's been like, you know, for artists, you know, to get into, and especially for you guys just starting out on this project and hoping that you guys stay as the duo is what we're all hoping for.
Yeah.
Because you guys both, your vocals together are just magic. So it's just incredible to hear the two of you together. Now, Scott, when it comes to you, like, you're an A-list session player, there's no doubt about it, for your guitar, but you're a acclaimed songwriter, an amazing multi-award-winning artist yourself when it comes to Wyatt as the lead singer. There's so much history with you and your vocals that people recognize instantly as soon as they hear your voice. I know I do. And, you know,
that's good to know.
Yeah, I love your voice. And, you know, it's just amazing to hear the two of you together, and that blend and that harmony is so cool. And really excited about this duo. So talk to us about your favorite moment in your career so far.
There's a couple that come to mind. I think, like, one of the ones that I remember the most was with Wyatt, when we won an opportunity to play at the Capitol Hoedown, I believe it was called, in Ottawa.
I remember this.
Yeah, so we got flown in there and treated like royalty and, you know, driven to the gig, and it was, you know, it was pretty wonderful. The performance, like, I was so nervous that the performance was not my best performance, but it just, the whole experience was kind of, I mean, for that time with the band, I think that was, like, the top of the mountaintop for mm-hmm. us. And then later on, getting to open for Kenny Rogers and having my parents in the audience, because that was one of the first concerts that they'd ever gone to. And I remember them talking about how good it was, and then we had the opportunity, just Danny Forte and I, to open up for him, just do a, you know, a short set, and he actually came up and watched the set and introduced himself and stuff. So those are like
major
memories that I'm proud of. But mm-hmm. you know, we've had, just even as the duo, you know, a show that we did probably a month ago at the Happy Nun in a small town called Forge, Saskatchewan. That there's probably 30 people that live there, but they have this great, you know, restaurant, and they have live music there. We hadn't played live in front of actual people since probably October of 2020.
I know, it's been a while.
So just the feeling in the room, like, people are excited to be there, and they're just listening to every, you know, there's just a few songs that stuck out that were just like, oh, that was the magic right there. And just, you know, to, you know, hear people's response to the songs and the response of actual people in a room is something that, you know, we took for granted for, you know, most of our career, but this year it's been few and far between.
Well, I think too, like, when it comes to both of you, like, the success for both of you has been there. You're both so well recognized, you know, Saskatchewan, you know, you guys are royalty there. And, you know, when it comes to, well, yeah, you are, you know, and it's
yeah, I think the parade's next week, but.
Who's leading that
nobody
one?
Else knows about it.
Well, you know, it's nice to see fans and right across Canada, everybody knows who you guys are. And, you know, to see this duo come together, I know that it's just something that people were looking forward to, but it's got to have been hard to get set and make that decision to do this together, because both of you are on stages all the time. And like you said, yeah. you guys have been busy, you know, even though, you know, the pandemic's been here, the studio sessions, things like that, you guys have been pretty good, you know, when it comes to writing and creating music along the way. Tell everybody about the decision to work together, because I know that you guys bumped into each other a lot, you know, when it come to different stages and that. Talk about the two of you getting together.
You can go ahead, Heidi.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, I think that Scott and I knew of each other in the circuit and had possibly been on a show, Bill or two, together. I was hiring some musicians. I needed a player. I had hired Scott. And then we got hired for the same gig, I think, a couple of times in a cover project together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just... it just really, really worked, and it really gelled. And I think the kicker kind of was for the duo is that I got a gig up north at one of the lakes, and I had asked Scott if he wanted to come and do the job. And, you know, the music just sounded so great, and he plays so fantastic, mm-hmm. and he sings absolutely wonderful.
I think she sent me about 70 songs.
I did.
It was a little overwhelming. I was so afraid not to get the gig. You know, like, I went to a rehearsal, and I was like, oh, she's not going to hire me. I still have the book that I have the whole song list, and I'm like, oh my gosh. She's like, well, you know this song. And I'm like, no, I do not. She's always like, it's easy, you know it. I'm like, I know of it.
Yeah, like, we just, you know, and it just kind of evolved that way. Work kept coming in, and then fast forward to the pandemic, and it just really solidified us working consistently together. And we were truly blessed to work a lot more than a lot of artists, and to keep creative, to keep our minds busy, to keep our spirits up, and to keep making music and to have some opportunities. And we were really lucky, because playing in various projects, you know, bigger bands, smaller bands, whatever, but still working really well together as a duo and kind of morphing into what the pandemic would allow artists to be, you know, it was really good for us.
Yeah, because I know that just getting together, you guys are in the same household, or are you just there now? Like, what's happening for you guys to be able to...
Yeah, no, we don't live in the same house, but
but be able to work together. How hard has it been trying to get together for the pandemic?
It wasn't that. It just sometimes, like when the pandemic first started, you were like honestly afraid that the police were going to stop you or something. Yeah. Be like, is what you're doing essential? It's like, well, it's me. So.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, it was a job. You know, a job. So.
Well, yeah, and we ended up, you know, doing kind of an online show every week for about, I think it was like 10 or 12 weeks. Right from when the pandemic hit, we thought, you know what, we're just going to do this almost like a weekly novelty show. We changed the themes and did different songs and dressed up, had fun with it, and, you know, and then would write too, just, you know, because to be honest, we had the time then. Mm-hmm. At first it was kind of a negative thing, but it was like, you know what, like, we probably wouldn't have got our EP done.
No, we wouldn't have.
Because we both, like, during that time that we recorded it, like, from December to kind of end it, like, well, even February, it was done by then. A normal year, we would have been too busy with other projects to be able to really put a lot of time and effort into it.
And this may never have happened, you know, to this extent, right? You know, this duo, if you guys... Sometimes things happen for a reason and we don't really see that bigger picture. And when our lives are so busy and our careers are so busy, you know, you're pulled in different directions because both of you are so well known to the artists right across Canada, you know, whether it's, you know, you're singing in different shows as well as doing your own work, but to turn around and be able to put a project together like this, it makes a big difference to what the creativity becomes, because both of you knowing what success looks like, and then having to deal with all of this and the restrictions and the requirements and, you know, just being able to get past your own busy lives to be able to get into the zone to write like this. What's the biggest difference you've noticed in writing for yourself, Scott?
Well, it was basically that we, part of it was that we had the time to do it, you know, so that, you know, we didn't have our minds on other projects. And for me, it wasn't like, you know, in a given week, I could be learning at least 5 to 10 new songs a week, and usually having to have them, like, performed at a high level, so, like, that was always kind of an undercurrent of being busy, and then any other projects on top of that added to that, and at different times of the year, I had to, like, plan my day so I could get everything done, and then now it's more like writing a song, and it doesn't have to be a certain style or for a certain project. It can just be our song, you know, and the nice thing about the duo is that we're versatile enough that we can kind of have some, you know, jazz influence, pop kind of stuff to more like, you know, kind of alt country kind of stuff that we don't have to worry about what kind of genre we fit in. Kind of freeing that way. Like, whereas when you work in other projects, you know, like even when I worked with Wyatt, we had like songs that we had written that just didn't really work for Wyatt, that never got recorded or never really saw the light of day. You know? With this project, we kind of, you know, there's lots of songs that are unfinished, but the ones that are finished, we feel are our best kind of foot forward and our best song. It's been nice to be able to kind of work with that.
I know that when it comes to writing, like a lot of writers will go to the people that they're really comfortable with. And they get used to writing, and especially with the careers as long as both of yours. For you, Heidi, what was it like writing, you know, with Scott for the first time?
Well, you know, I think when you're writing with someone, you have to be very, very comfortable. You have to allow yourself to be very vulnerable. And you just, you know, I mean, it's, I have to feel safe. Like your ideas and coming across and your feelings are respected and being dead honest in your writing. And I think that both of us are like that. And we realize that in order for a song to reach an audience or anyone, it has to be written very, very honestly. And we write from experiences. We write from other people's experiences. You know, there's one song actually that we just finished. We were just working on in the studio, and we weren't really feeling inspired, but we really wanted to write a really good song, and we couldn't come up with anything. And Scott just started throwing words out, and he said a hot air balloon, and wow, we just finished recording a song about a hot air balloon. which sounds really, really bizarre, and you have no idea what kind of song it is. But, you know, there is really great elements in that song that just get you right in the gut. And well, who would have thought, you know? Yeah, so you know, I think that being very, very comfortable and just having a really great vibe with one another, and I don't think we've ever come up with anything really bad or, you know,
I think there's songs. I think there's songs that we hit the wall with where we just couldn't.
Yeah.
We couldn't take it any further, so we just kind of left. You know, we had a good idea, but and then all of a sudden another idea comes up, and you go with that one. And to me, that's songwriting is kind of like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You take the easy road in a way where it's like, well, this song's really, you know, cooking and it's working. Let's leave this one for another time and come back to it. And, you know, and then some of those songs get written really quickly because the inspiration's there and the picture's there.
Mm-hmm.
Get across really well. You know, some just take a lot of time.
That comes with experience too, because I know a lot of writers that are starting out today, they're always instructed to write. And that process, do you guys come up with a title first, or you come up with, as you're just saying, it's just an idea, you know, that's what you came out with, Scott?
Normally, like, there is kind of an underlying pattern. Like, usually Heidi will get a page of lyrics to me, and then I kind of go like, hey, this is the title. Like, something will stick out, like, Give Up or Give In, that song.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that line stood out for me in the lyrics and kind of the melody that she had, and then usually we kind of get together and hash that out, like maybe get, like with that one, I think it was like a verse, and we kind of try to tell the story, and we're going back and forth, like, well, is it this, is it that, and like some of it's not very, like, it wouldn't sound inspired to the people if somebody was sitting in on the session. and then a chorus will come, you know, if we get that kind of idea what the title is, then it's easier to write a chorus, because then you kind of know what you're trying to point that song in, the direction you're trying to point it in. And then a lot of times the curse of the second verse is always like a really tough thing to get over, because you feel like you've already said a lot in your first verse and chorus. And then a lot of times I'll take what we have and kind of sit on my own on a few songs and come up with some ideas and send them to Heidi, and she yes or no them, and kind of go back and forth that way. So sometimes we're writing in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like sending notes back and forth.
Well, that's what I figured. Going through this tough time, it's hard to get together and, you know, sit in a session and write. So it's not as easy today as it has been, you know, in the past. And I figured that's what you guys were doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the songs that you've written, they do really pull at your heartstrings. And as you said, you guys write real. And it's fresh, though. You've got that country tradition, but also you got a lot of other new influences there that we hear in the music. Tell us about that, Heidi.
You know, again, I think it's drawing on all of our years of service in the industry. And that is a really great thing. You know, it's tough if you're really going after a commercial market, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you kind of have to fit in a box, and that's just the way it is. But we have so many collective influences and experiences and life that all of that comes across in the music.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's just kind of what it comes from, and it also comes from the music that really moves us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it moves us, hopefully it's going to move somebody else. So
yeah, because I think when you're talking about life and being able to deal with, you know, what your influences were growing up, everybody has something different. But, you know, for you,
oh, very much.
Yeah, like that desire of music, where did it come from for you and wanting to do that as your career?
Oh, you know, my father, rest his soul, told my mom, I remember hearing them talking in the kitchen, and I was down the basement. I think I was probably around 8 years old. And I remember Dad telling Mom, you got to get that girl singing. You got to get her singing. And, of course, we came from a very modest, broke farming background, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe Dad figured he was going to hit the big money. Who knows? But it didn't happen. But it was just always, always there. You know, music always surrounded me. Mom and Dad were very active in Regina when they were growing up. They played rock and roll. They were surrounded by music consistently. I don't ever remember a day in our house, that there wasn't some kind of music playing from my earliest days till the day I left home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they always, always supported that. They always encouraged it. I think that possibly there was a little resentment from my siblings, and understandably so, because Mom and Dad would move heaven and earth to make sure that I got to go to a contest or that I got to, you know, whatever, whatever it was. I think my first paying gig, I was probably around 14 years old. I got a job as a singer for a old-time country band. I think I made like $50 a night, and I just figured I was rolling in it. So, yeah. But, you know, it's just constantly been in my soul, and, you know, through all of life's ups and downs and experiences, that is the one thing, that is the one constant that is always there and always will be.
Nice.
No matter where you go or what happens, it's just always there. And I think as an artist, any artist can relate to that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine not. I can't even see that picture in my head. So.
It's amazing to see, you know, when we look at what we've gone through in life, what our parents went through, what our grandparents went through, and then we see what we've gone through in our generation. This is really the first real test, you know, when it comes to, you know, going through something like this. But everybody leans back on music at some point. You know, time can't help it emotionally, whether you're happy, you're down, you have a loss, or, you know, you're just not dealing with life very well. You know, we all turn to music in order to cope. And I think that's what, you know, when it comes to knowing what music means to you and artists today who are trying to write, as you said, you know, are you writing for the radio stations and what they want, or are you writing music for yourself? You guys have both had that experience to know what works and what doesn't work. And I think that's what that influence in music has done, your experience has done. And that's very cool. What about you, Scott, you know, for your musical influences and what sparked your desire to become a songwriter? And
I remember like one of the first, I think I was getting babysat by one of my aunts, and Rod Stewart was doing like a live TV concert. And he was in his leotard or whatever.
That
was Scott right there. I was like, this is so cool.
His red leather pants.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, it was like, I remember that vividly, like that happening. And then another thing I remember, my parents buying me this plastic electric guitar. I think it was my parents. Might have been my parents or grandparents. It had like orange pickguard and it had a pink flower on it and nylon strings. And so me and my two other cousins would like, you know, put on the Mini Pops record or Solid Gold Hits and put on concerts for our cousins when they come over.
Aww.
And then I remember doing like Kiss concerts for girls in the neighborhood with another friend. I remember putting makeup on. And so for me, it was like, obviously not about the music at all, no. But I remember those times, it was just a lot of fun, and it was just like something so cool about it. And then I know my parents, like one of my cousins sat me down at a piano one time at my great aunt's and just kind of, you know, showed me the notes, and I kind of tinkered away and just thought it was like the best thing. And then my parents put me in organ lessons, and, you know, I played that, and it was like, I just thought it was the greatest thing. Like I played saxophone in band, and then I got my first guitar and put me guitar lessons, and then that's when I was kind of sold, you know. So like, so that, and then I started singing after that, and, you know, teaching music lessons when I was in high school, and I still teach to this day.
You going to teach me to play guitar? Is that what you're going to do? Please?
Pardon me? Oh, sure. There we go.
Love it. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so it was just like all that, and I always, you know, there's pictures of me as a kid with, you know, my big headphones and plugged into the record player. Just, I listened to music all the time. You know, when I first got my first tape recorder, I recorded myself and realized that I didn't sound as good as I thought I did. but all that kind of stuff, so. It was just kind of in me, and any time I tried to stray from that, even through the pandemic, like, maybe I should do something else.
No.
Anytime I tried to stray from music, I get dragged back in somehow, and a new opportunity comes up that, you know, was better than the one before, so.
That's the universe that keeps telling you, do not stop this, because we're all telling you that.
Sometimes you wish it would just let you stop, but there's just, yeah.
What was the pressures like for you guys getting ready for this and deciding which songs you guys wanted to, you know, have as the very first single? Because I know that there's a lot of pressure when you're coming out brand new like this in a new project, getting ready to say, okay, you know what, this is the one, this is the title track, and knowing it in your bones. Talk to us about that, Heidi.
You know, I think that we both knew enough about the industry that it's probably not a wise idea to release a ballad first off together. You know, having something a little more upbeat, a little more hooky, you know, always seems to be a little better received for your first song together.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been playing these songs on stage for quite some time. Like, Gimme Your Rain was the last song written for the EP.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we just knew. We were just so happy. It just felt right. It just felt like there was absolutely no question.
Yeah. That one was the type of song that we'd always wanted to write.
Yeah,
like, for myself, it was like, I've always wanted to write a song. Like,
that
sounds like this, kind of.
I love the blues, you know, behind this and the soul behind this song.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just such a cool one. We're going to play that one right now so everybody can hear that. So let's play Give Me Your Rain by country's newest, hottest duo, Monroe and Patrick, right here on Music's Journey.
Beautiful song, Give Me Your Rain. It's the title cut from their studio album together, their first one together, Monroe and Patrick. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast. Once again, here's your host, Kim Sear.
you can't help but get your toes tapping immediately, you know, to that song. And it's just, I love the grit, I think is the blues and the grit, you know, that's behind that soul. And it just gets me every single time. But I love the idea that you guys went to with this one, because anybody could relate to it, whether it comes to relationships, jobs, you know, family, goals, anything. But anybody could relate to this. Didn't matter what age, but it is such a cool song.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Came together, like, it was one of those kind of magical ones that came together without a lot of effort. And then even musically, just some of the parts, like the middle part where we're kind of calling and answering, was just kind of like a cool idea. I was like, we just need to say a couple lines. It doesn't even have to make sense. We just need to. It needs the emotion of it, right? Like,
That song, you know, like, I had some ideas and some lyrics for the song to Scott, and when you were referring to anyone can relate to it, that's kind of what was top of mind for that song, you know, given the pandemic. And, you know, I don't really want to say that that's where the ideas came from, but it's just about waking up. It is the need to feel the rain and your spirit and your heart awoken again, and just getting up out of the dust, spiritually or in a relationship or in your family, or just waking up and getting it together and just feeling all those great feelings again. And that's kind of where the song started from, and then it went a little more relationship based, but melodically we were just so incredibly happy with that song, and we're just really proud of it.
Look what happened when that was released in March, and how well it's done and how well it was received. Yeah. And it was just like perfect timing.
It was just like, to me, it was, like I said earlier, it was like just music style wise, the style of the vocals and the, you know, the guitar parts and stuff. It was just always the kind of song, like a good swampy blues soul song, like from, you know, like influences, like even like the Allman Brothers, Chris Stapleton, like that kind of, those kind of songs that I always love. It doesn't matter if I hear it on a TV show, like on the radio, a video game. I just love those style of songs.
Me too.
And it worked out so well, and Heidi's vocal on it was amazing. It was funny because she had gone to, like, our good friend Grant Zotnico, who recorded the EP. She went there and to work on another song, but then he said, well, you might as well just lay down a guide vocal for Give Me Your Rain, then we have something to work with, and he can tinker around with it and stuff. And she came back and we met up, and she's like, I put down a bit of a vocal for Give Me Your Rain. I hope it's okay. Just let me know when I listen to it. And I'm like, why do you have to, like, there's your vocal. Just use that. That was great. So that vocal was pretty much 90% of that vocal was her first
really
take. And she was like, I can go and redo it again. And we would do some takes. We're like, yeah, we'll let her, like, yeah, take, do some takes, do some takes. And we're like, nope, your original is not bad. And it wasn't that, like, what she was singing at the time wasn't great. It just had the emotion, and, like, the end of the song is my, like, just the way her voice went at the end is the best. And we would not let her re-record that. It's like, no, it's just, like, it's perfect the way it is.
Sometimes when you get that first feeling of the song, right, and you go with it, and that's exactly what she did. You when you feel the lyrics like that, it's so cool.
It's the thing with the voices. You can't, like, even when we sing the same line over and over, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
It can be, have a minute difference every time, and that's a struggle as a singer, because you know, you go like, was that the one? Was that? And there are differences that probably a listener, like, technically wouldn't notice, but they feel it. You know, so that one was, I remember hearing it on the phone. I'm like, why are you redoing this vocal? Don't put you on it. No offense, but it's not going to get there.
Well, that's pretty cool to hear.
And then I recorded the guitar part, and Heidi's always been suggesting that I should learn how to play slide guitar.
I'm a huge slide fan.
And I was like, okay. So when I did the track, I was like, oh, this needs slide. Okay. I'll go. So I practiced and went and did it. It was my debut of playing slide. I was like, well, there's no better way to learn than to record it and hear how you sound and hope for the best.
It's great. Yeah.
I'm telling you, both of you guys are like seasoned veterans here, so you guys know exactly what you're doing, and it shows. Like, this song is just like the bomb right now, so I know that everybody's just so excited about what you guys are going to be coming up with this summer, and I just absolutely love this tune. One of my favorites right now.
Thank you.
Love, love, love. Anything that's got that grit and blues, I'm right there. I'm same as you, Scott. I love that song and that sound, so it's just really, really cool. With you, Scott, now you've...
We never let you guys hear the outtakes of the part that didn't quite work.
Oh, come on. We need to hear those.
No. When you said seasoned and know what we're doing, that's smoke and mirrors.
I think I have a pretty good idea what goes on in there. So, but yeah, that's awesome. The sound for you guys in this particular song, really good choice. And it has been really well received on radio as well.
Yeah, it has.
What about the video that you guys made for this?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Heidi.
Well, you know, the girl that shot the video is a really close friend. Nicole Bell, I'm going to drop her name there. she had done a lot of photography for me, like prior to the duo. Mm-hmm. And she's just a really raw photographer. She loves raw. She loves really real stuff, really in your face. She doesn't make small statements in her work. When she heard the song, immediately she was so excited about it. And the first word out of her mouth was, "That song's gonna be on Yellowstone."
Wouldn't that be awesome?
on the show, and I said, "Yeah, well, you just call up Kevin Costner and make it happen." So, but we wanted the close shot to just kind of reflect that raw, deep, gritty feel, and we didn't want a lot of images to cloud the message in the music.
Mm-hmm.
And she just caught that fantastically. She shot it on a single camera.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Nice.
On a single camera and like a little
in a small room. Studio. Yeah.
Yeah, like a really, really small studio. We lip synced to the track, I think, what, 3 or 4 times maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it?
Like shot away and
wow.
Shot away and put it together. Yeah. Absolutely stellar work. Fantastic.
Great job.
String a guitar for the video too, so. And if you could hear that guitar, it sounded totally terrible. It looked cool, but it sounded terrible.
Listen to you. She caught that mood perfectly, for that song.
Oh, yeah.
John
and
I are both photographers and videographers as well, so,
nice.
Yeah, so when we looked at that, it was like, that's cool. Very, very well done for that song. So hats off to her on that. That's awesome. I love that feel. I like that black and white smoky.
Yeah.
It just led to the mood completely.
Yeah.
There's another song that we're going to talk about right now too, but I just wanted to touch back in when it comes to, for you, Scott, 8-time SCMA award winner, but you've also played on countless stages across Canada. And as I said, we talked to you about being the lead vocalist for 10 years in the band. What has changed the most for you in the direction of your career and where you see this going?
Well, like to be honest, like when Wyatt was kind of wrapping up, I was concerned about, like, I was probably the only one in the band that was like, all of my income was from music. So I had no fall, I had no plan B.
Mm.
Everyone else had jobs they could fall back on. So I was kind of looking at it as like, okay, so when this is done and the gigs run out, then the money runs out.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you're attached to this, like, persona as well. Like, people recognize you. Ah, yeah, you're from Wyatt. Like, yeah, it feels good, and it feeds the ego, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was, like, looking at, like, what happened now, And it was one of those moments of, like, okay, so what do I do now? And then, just through some of the connections I had made, I ended up getting called to play, like, side guitar,
Mm-hmm.
Was recording or play for other people, and at the time people didn't even know that I would do that. They're like, oh, like you play like a gig with me? I'm like, yeah. part of the business. So.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I was concerned with just what to do with that. Like, never mind, like, because the band never really broke up. We just kind of faded away. You know, mm-hmm. we'd all come to the conclusion that we'd, you know, we'd taken it as far as we possibly could, and we weren't really willing to sacrifice time, family, and money anymore. And just kind of, it just kind of faded away, you know. So for me, it was like looking at what the next step. And then all of a sudden, I'm learning jazz songs for this Heidi Monroe lady. And going from country to jazz was a little bit of an eye-opener for me. But, you know, it's just odd, like, where my journey as a player has gone from, you know, playing for, of course, country artists, like that knew me from Wyatt, but then also, you know, like pop, rock, you know, jazz kind of stuff, big band stuff. And it's like, you know, like years later, I look back and I'm like, that's pretty cool. I can do that now. I didn't think I'd be able to. I've enjoyed the musical journey of it, and I don't know where it's going to end, but, you know, just kind of I'm always striving and learning new things and on guitar and voice, and always, like, just always kind of, I find that, to me, that's a sign of a true musician, is that you never arrive, you just always
love to play.
To find out. Yeah, like, you can't figure out that instrument. There's, like, there's not enough lifetimes to figure out everything you should do on guitar.
Yeah, because you play a lot of instruments, as you mentioned earlier. So, you know, it's kind of nice to have that background. And I think, you know, when you guys are dealing with your careers before and then now, so much has changed too in the industry when it comes to record buying and what you guys would have made 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
In comparison to today. So starting out a band, like you're saying, this is your livelihood. And, you know, reminding all the fans out there that they can always request, if you're not hearing a single that you really love, and this is just a perfect opportunity to be able to give a shout out to everyone for Give Me Your Rain right now for EP. You guys can go out there and request it, you know, at your local radio stations. And that goes a long way. But when you purchase it and you add it to your playlist, it is huge when it comes to, you know, the capability of the awards that are given out to the artists. And we're just really hoping that you guys can all get on board internationally out there and get to know this amazing brand new country duo, and that's Monroe and Patrick with their brand new EP, Give Me Your Rain, and it's just amazing. So we're going to bring up another one right now too, so that is a really great opportunity for people to get to hear a bit more of what your music is. Now talk about Give Up or Give In. That was a really cool song too.
That was one of the first songs that we wrote.
He wrote that.
And it basically started with, again, like Heidi sending me like e-notes with lyrics. And me going like, hey, it should be called Give Up or Give In. And we didn't, like, she had, probably three or four verses and the chorus, but no, like, we didn't really have you had a little bit of a melody.
I did a really, really traditional, traditional melody, yeah.
And then just kind of the story of the first verse, like, I remember sitting around just kind of batting back and forth, like, you know, like, how do we tell this story but not be too, you know, not be too cliche with it, and you know, and I remember coming up with the chorus, and I remember saying, "Hey, hit record. I've got like this blah 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 chorus." And the melody I'm just gonna sing like almost one note through the whole thing. Like, coming back, and it just kind of worked out really great. And then I remember the second verse, I kind of went home and sat in my living room and had this idea of, you know, investment in a relationship, or the good and the bad times in a relationship, like if teardrops were silver and laughter was gold, I'm like, oh, that's cool, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of went with a whole kind of money type scheme or investment type scheme.
to tell her
that verse, and I remember sent it to Heidi. She's like, this is great, and you know, it just kind of
grew from there.
One of the first songs we wrote, and it's in a way almost wrote itself, but it probably took a month or so to kind of get it.
It did, you know, like when I had some of those lyrics for a while, but I was just walking home one day, just really, really reflecting on I think it was family relationships, actually, and, you know, sometimes the dynamics and some really negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just thinking about, okay, do I give up on them? Do I just, you know, not communicate, or do I give in? Is this really important? And really try and make it work and work things out. And that's where that started from. And then and then, you know, it went into your relationships too.
We always love a good brokenhearted love song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
You know.
We all relate, right? We all can relate to what the lyrics speak on, right?
Yeah. So. I just thought it was just like, you know, some of our favorite writers, like, you know, like Chris Stapleton, has a way of just writing something very simple that you feel like you're in the room with the people. You're watching a movie almost, or you're living it. And that's what they're trying to capture with that. Was like, how would this play out in real life? Like, what would people say to each other, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how that song fits so well today. With what's going on, too, and that was your first one. So let's play that one right now. So Give Up or Give In by my very special guests, Monroe and Patrick, right here on Music's Journey.
We are what we are. Some things never change. Too scared to leave. And not strong enough to stay. It's been that kind of night. We know how this ends. It is what it is. Do we give up or give in?
If teardrops were silver and laughter was gold, you know we'd be living richer than most. We can't take it with us. Time to save it or spend. It is what it is. Do we give up or give in?
Love keep on burning. Can we make it last? Will we just be two strangers, a flame from the past? Will we sift through the embers when the fire's gone cold? Or do we let them burn down to the coals? We've been here before. Can we do this again? Tell me, do we give up?
Give Up or Give In, Monroe and Patrick from Saskatchewan. Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast once again. Here's your host, Kim Sear.
I love this because, it, as you said, Chris Staples, John knows with him, anything he puts out, it does not matter. You know, I love everything that man does. And, you know, it's just, he's just such a really cool, honest artist. And, you know, you bleed Like you can feel every single emotion when it comes to the stuff that he's written. And that's what this reminded me of. So that's what was cool, you know, when we're looking at the lyrics and how tough life can be. And, you know, the pressures of life, as you said, family, I was going through that myself this past year. And, you know, work, especially, you know, during these extreme times right now, and relationships folding during this year.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah. A lot of families, you know, are really experiencing what it's like. You know, you might have ignored things before that might have irritated you or bothered you in relationships and stuff that would have just gone by. But when you're in each other's face, you know, 24/7, it's a lot harder to be able to walk away, get a fresh look at stuff. You know, you're at work, you cool down, whatever, you know, your downtime is. It's hard. And that's why this song was so relatable.
Yeah. What I liked about the song is it doesn't really have a clear it doesn't say everything worked out fine or everything didn't work out. You know, it leaves it up like the people are like, what we try to write is like songs that are in the moment. Like it's like watching a movie or something. It's like, there's no moral to this story. It's just, this is how
you write.
Very much.
That's the line of the song.
It is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. We made a point of like, we didn't want to resolve it for anybody. It's like, no, it's just that moment. That question,
out to you, right? And I love that because it gives the fans the opportunity to fill that in their own way, so they can either hear the message of what you guys wrote in the lyrics and say, hey, how can I look at this, or, you know, change my approach on this, or you know, my vision on this in my own story. And that's what I loved about this. So give up or give in. So cool.
Yeah. Is it a breakup song, or is it let's fix this and we kind of saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can go either way on that. And well, I don't know if we purposely meant to do that, but it worked out pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think too, a lot of the teens too that are going through the stuff that they are as well, even for mental illness, things like that.
Yeah.
This song fit, you know.
Very much.
So very, very cool what you guys did with that one. Now, when it comes to the rest of this EP, talk to everybody about that and what you guys got coming up.
Oh, well, we haven't really decided on the next song to be released. You know, we're really, really happy with all the songs. One song in particular that I just really, really love is a song that Tim Scott started out. It's called If I Stand Too Close to You, and it's more of a traditional ballad song, but absolutely big, and I just really, really love this song.
If I stand too close to you, I'd be caught up in the fire, and I would not be the same after burning in your flame if I stand too close to you.
If I kiss your honey lips, there would be no sweeter taste. I could be drawn to a flower if I kissed your honey lips.
We don't know where the story goes, but once we start, we can't go back again. If you turn your back on me, oh, the sun would never shine. Only darkness would remain. Feel the chill run through my veins if you turn away from me. start, we can't go back again. Every day we just turn a page, hoping that the magic never ends. You know I'd fall so hard for you.
There's nothing I could do
if I stand too close.
Monroe.
And this is Patrick of Monroe and Patrick, and you're listening to our interview with Kim Sear
on the Music Journey podcast.
That one, literally, I had the idea probably over 10 years ago, like had the verse.
Yeah.
And had never, could never stumble upon the chorus or get it to the right person to finish it. So it was kind of, for me, it was really good to just be, to get to hear the finished version of it out, you know? So yeah. It's pretty cool. That's always a good feeling because it's, it can be frustrating as a writer when you have this idea and you don't have the skills or the, you're not in the right headspace to get it out to where you want it or where you want people to hear it. Like that's a constant struggle when you're writing.
Yeah.
Nice when you have that perfect duo to finish that one off, right?
Yeah, like honestly, that was like an evening.
It was an evening, yeah.
Ah, can't wait. What's the name of the song again?
If I Stand Too Close to You.
Ooh. Sounds really good already. So that's the one that's coming up next, possibly?
Yeah, like we haven't, like, it's funny because each song we kind of, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that one. Maybe that one should go up. You know?
Come on.
Just, every song, like, a lot of them are like, you know, there's some that are similar in a way, but then there's, you know, like a song like August Moon on our album that's more like a, kind of like a jazz pop kind of tune, or like kind of
a little R&B. Bit of a Motown feel, kind of.
Yeah, that just kind of just sticks out like the sore thumb sometimes. But it's like we really love the song and we wrote it, and it says what we want to say, and it sounds how we want it to sound.
And to people me, love it.
Yeah, to me that's the goal at the end of the day. So the EP is kind of, you know, all of our influences, you know, drawn together, but not like, you know. Like right now, we're still recording the hot air balloon song.
I was gonna say the hot air balloon song's gonna be coming in there. So, are you guys okay to do the burning questions?
The burning questions.
Oh, I think I know what that question is.
Well, maybe not.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
maybe
what the burning question is, I guess.
Well, there's a few.
Let's have at it.
There's a few. I'll start with you, Heidi.
Good luck.
Okay. What is a song on the radio today, any genre, that really moves you emotionally and why?
Holy. You know, I hardly ever listen to the radio.
What's on your playlist then? What's your favorite song on your playlist?
I love Chris Stapleton.
Yay. Which one?
I'm a huge...
Grace Potter.
I'm a huge, Grace Potter. She's a heavy blues R&B influence. She did a cover of a song that Levon Helm wrote when he was with the band called I Shall Be Released. Mm. And it's absolutely incredible. I listen to that song probably 4 or 5 times a day.
Ooh, like, I got to hear that one.
She is an incredible performer. I really, really relate to her and her sound and her music and how she pours herself out in the show. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Nice.
And that song is absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
You guys are so good when it comes to live performing, too, so we can't wait to get you guys back out there. So, Scott, what about you when it comes to a song on the radio today? Any genre? One that moves you and why?
I love an artist goes by Rag and Bone Man.
Oh, yeah.
He did it, like, Song Human. It's been on a lot of movie soundtracks. That's one of my favorite songs. Like, my daughter literally rolls her eyes every time I turn it on. And I turn it up loud. Just to annoy a little bit. But I just love his voice. Really soulful voice. You know, and he does a few acoustic ones, like I heard on Sirius and stuff. I can't remember the other. Skin is the other song. Just a beautiful version of just him and a piano. And it's so
I know that one. That one I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another artist that I love that just came to mind is James Bay, and the song is called Scars. Great.
We've heard that one twice now from an artist pick saying that that was one of their favorites. That's very cool.
Yeah, just I love his voice, like his voice and his writing, and like that song in particular just says what it needs to say.
Really, really good song. Okay, so for you, Heidi, what is your favorite thing about working with Scott?
The favorite thing about working with Scott, you know, I think
charm and good looks.
Well, yeah, like even taking away the music, like because we spend an awful lot of hours in a vehicle together and have to spend a lot of time together. He is funny. He is supportive. We laugh so much together. He's like my best friend.
Nice.
And yeah, you know, and his talent. He's extremely modest, and he always wants to learn, and he's just so dedicated to his craft and wanting to be the best that he can be, and he really respects the people that hire him, you know, for like side work or session work or whatever, like outside of us, that he wants to give his best work and not just show up and do the gig.
Nice.
And, you know, and after that many years being in the business, we can get a little lax sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, sometimes it does feel like work, and sometimes you don't always want to go to work. But he just always gives it 100%, and that's pretty cool. So, yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. You can see all those hearts just floating up everywhere. All those little floating hearts, virtual, are going up everywhere. Okay, so what about you, Scott? What's your favorite thing about working with Heidi?
I would say her passion, like just her passion for performing, for music, for family, for like everything she does it, you know, to the full extent of her being. So she's a great singer. She's a like captivating performer. Most of the time I'm like, I don't even need to really be on the stage. I could just come up. Nobody would notice. But she's just a great performer and really connects with an audience and cares about the audience. Like
mm-hmm.
she wants to make sure that they're having a great show. And she pays attention to every little detail, you know, where it's like recording or whatever. She, you know, is very, you know, detailed where she focuses on that and wants to have it done to the best of, you know, her ability and our ability. So
nice.
Yeah, like we have, you know, we spend a lot of time together and there's never a drive where it's quiet, ever.
Never.
You know, it's like all of a sudden we're at the gig. It's like, oh, how did we get here? I think so. I was driving. So.
Conversation flows.
But, you know, and it's like, and the topics range, like, for everything, you know, and it is, like, there's lots of downtime when you're performing, and it's like, it's never really downtime, we just have a blast, and, you know, get along great, and, you know, it's like, half the time we don't even listen to music on the road, it's just like, once in a while we do,
yeah.
just chat, and it's just, you know, it's cool that way, and you know, and it's great to have someone on stage with you,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, otherwise, it's a pretty lonely career otherwise.
Yeah.
But it's a unique trust.
I've never really been interested in pursuing a solo career.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, it's way more fun to share music with somebody else. And we both like put it all into our performance.
Yeah.
You know, we have stories to tell and we have good laughs. Like half the time the audience is more entertaining than we are sometimes.
Yeah.
But it is that thing of where we just, you know, we just click like that and writing and, you know, everything. It's like, it has a purpose and it has passion and, you know, it's great.
That's nice when you guys connect like that, because it's hard to come by, you know, to find somebody that you can just be at ease with like that. And, you know, where time just goes by, it doesn't feel like work, you know, when that's in the picture. So that's really great to hear. What is Scott's goofiest trait?
Did she say goofiest?
Yep. Everybody has one. We need to get down to it. So you guys are on the road all the time together. So Heidi's not going to let us down on this one. What's the goofiest thing he does?
Oh,
geez.
Oh, wow.
My accents get pretty good sometimes.
He tries.
No helping her out. No leading, no leading this in a different direction. I want to hear from her.
Misdirection.
He's just so witty, you know. He just oozes coolness all the time.
You are so lucky you have her on your team, Scott. Because anybody else would have thrown you under the bus by now.
Yeah,
that's
true. But, you know, I don't know. We just laugh so much. And
no quirky habits?
He's
got to have a quirky habit.
He's just kind of temperamental.
See, this is better.
Like, I mean, I can't even really say that. He's just, wow, this is just like a really tough
See, question. I'm leaving her out there. See, I'm letting the air in between all that.
Yeah.
See, this is the good part of the show. That's why it's the burning questions, right? So it's just,
yeah.
Okay, Scott, let's flip this on the other side. What's her quirkiest habit?
Well, you're not supposed to answer this.
Nope. You can't lead the question.
quirkiest habit. That's odd. Like, I can't, like, I'll think, but I can't think of one. Like,
I know a lot of people have traditions when it comes to before they go on stage, or, you know, just beliefs, just different things that they do, you know, ahead of time, or like they might do in private that you just find funny.
Yeah, we don't really. Like, we just kind of hang out backstage or whatever if we have time. If we have time to prepare before the show.
Next time you guys come on, it's going to be my mission. My mission to make one of you guys answer one of these. Trust me, I will get there.
Okay.
I will get you guys.
Quirky isn't really like, yeah, she's not really quirky, but she's like funnier than most people would think, I think.
Okay.
Like, and she does, well, I guess the quirkiest thing is how she does like a parody of my voice. Because I don't really.
There we go.
At all, but it's very degrading. And I like a jerk, but that would be, yeah.
See, that's good. That's what we're trying to find out about the two of you. Yeah. This is good.
So, yeah, just sometimes you just have to be, like, you know, at a show, and, yeah, it'll come out. Don't worry, because I probably said something stupid by that point.
So. I'm going to be very, very mindful to watch out for your quirky little thing, but I will, and you will get an email, and I will.
Normally, it's usually I'm all over the place, and she can't follow what.
She got to reel you in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. It does drive her nuts. Yeah.
It does. It does, like, a lot of times when God's explaining something or he has an idea for song or, you know, or working through an arrangement, he will think out loud, but it will be just squirrels all over the place.
You gotta keep up.
And he will expect me to know exactly what he's thinking.
Exactly.
But that's that creative
topic that we started out at, and then get quite upset with me that I can't keep up.
See, that's the creative side of you, Scott.
Then the voice parody comes out.
And then
the voice parody.
It's a vicious circle.
See, there's always got to be something. So it was like important that we got that out for the fans so they get to know you guys just
better,
a little bit more. You feel better now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so what is your favorite thing to do to recharge when you want to get away from life and stresses, Heidi?
Well, my favorite thing is...
Okay, they're laughing.
You know,
I want to know what this is.
What it is, well, you know, but I really try every...
They're sitting beside each other. This isn't fair.
No.
No, I'm in the basement. She's upstairs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're lucky. Okay.
Yeah. Favorite thing to recharge. Okay. I love the outdoors. I love to be outside. I just, that really keeps me grounded. It's really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I love to exercise. Love to be active outside. And I try to do that, but it gets really frustrating because life just gets in the way. way. And Scott will know that because it seems like there's always something always something that happens. That is super, super. I know that when I get some time outside, and you know, I think it's because I grew up in the country as well, and as you age, tend to get comfort in those things that you remember as a child, right?
I'm the exact same way, so is John. Like, when we are stressed out, the first thing we want to do is just go outside, just get back into nature. It's one thing that grabs us every time. Yep.
Yeah, you know, I do, and I literally want to crawl in a hole. I don't want my phone. I don't want anything. It gets just super, super overwhelming. And I think, and both Scott and I find it very hard to get away from the responsibilities of the business, because that would be the traditional work week for a lot of people. As you know, you're Monday to Friday, and on the following Monday, they will, after all their emails that they got on the weekend, they can leave it at that. But we're more of a 24/7. It's like we just continue to deal with things all the time. And sometimes you got to shut it off.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because I know just running the magazine for what I do and you know, producing the podcast and all that stuff, you're going nonstop. You're always doing the research, moving on to the next thing. It's just like you're always having to stay on top. There's never a day off. And it's hard.
And as creative people, like all of us are creative people, and it isn't like you shut the door to the office and you go home. The mind is always going. You're always trying to think of different ideas and different views of the different opportunities and you know, and how to reach people a different way. And so you never shut it off.
Yeah, especially now too.
Because, it is,
yeah, especially now because you guys have had to find a different way. Like, it's not easy to go on your radio tours the moment you guys do a release. Like, this is, you know, it's your money. You know, it's stuff that you're investing in. It's a big difference when it comes to a label, you know, when they got that backing and that team behind you. When you guys are doing it, you know, for yourself, you know, as independent artists, it's so difficult. And fans don't realize how much it costs just to be able to get in studio, to get that money together, you know, alone, you know, on top of what you guys are doing every single day, to be able to put bread and food and, you know, everything on the table, you know, for your families at the same time and being able to take that time away to be able to write, create, and do all of that.
Yeah.
The production to, you know, the marketing to, and now, you different way to market completely, you know, than it used to be. And, you know, you don't get the same amount of money, you know, as you used to for a song, you know, today. And it's just such a different world than it was just 10 years ago in comparison to putting a single out today. And that's why these playlists for the fans and what they can do for you guys, you know, goes such a long way and makes a big difference in the role they have. Yeah. Now, what about you, Scott? What do you like to do to recharge and get away from life and stresses?
I am a video game fanatic.
Yeah, you are.
What's your favorite video game?
My favorite? Oh, this is like asking how many drops of water there are in the ocean. probably my favorite. Okay, I think, probably my favorite ones would have been The Last of Us series.
Okay.
Like a survival zombie game. I love story games, so I love, like, I'll literally play almost to the end of a game that I love, and then I'll start all over before I know the ending. Because once I know the ending, it kind of ruins it for me. I don't really play online. I just play, like, story-based all kinds of games. So,
okay.
That is, you know, and I love the music in them, you know. Graphics. My daughter's getting into. She's getting really good at video games. So I'm pretty.
Do you guys play one together?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we play a couple. We're playing a new one that's called It Takes Two, and it's a great game. It's a great game. It's like unbelievable. And she's at the level now where like she kind of like trash talked me.
Bring it on, Dad.
And I'm kind of holding it up, and you feel kind of like. You know, like kind of old. I'm like, how did you get but it's fun. Like we'll sit and you kind of like rib each other,
that's
yell
cool.
at each other a little bit, laugh, we high five. You know, it's like it's fun. I've always been fascinated by video games, and I've probably gone on too long about it.
Nope, that's very cool.
If I wasn't a musician, I should be a video game tester.
I was going to say, there's so much you could do for the video games, right? You know, there's so many ideas. See, that's the creative flow, and I got to keep that in tap. So yeah. I got to shut that off when I need to. Okay, so I don't know if, Heidi, if you watch TV series. Do you have a favorite TV series or movie?
Well, right now it is Yellowstone.
Me too.
I absolutely love that. Love it, yeah.
Yeah, that's ours. That's the one we're waiting for. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Can't come soon enough. Yeah.
Yeah, we're only in season 3, so don't ruin it.
Okay. I won't say anything then. Oh, man. How are you so late on this one?
I didn't realize I had Brian Didio.
Oh, yeah. We did. And we were like, my God, we can watch this. We can watch
it. See, you're going
to... Heidi's like, hey, I can come over to your place and write, and like, maybe we can watch Yellowstone. I see what's going on here.
See, if you watch it, you can't help it. You can watch it a couple of times and you're still going to get more out of it. It's such a good series.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything except that season 3 has a great cliffhanger.
Shush.
Oh, great. Oh, wow.
That's all I'm saying.
I know she's going, oh, wow. And we're not saying anything else. We're not saying nothing else.
Detail.
Nothing else. See, now your music, this song would just be perfect.
You know what? We've been told that like so many times by like probably about 3 songs on the album is that it would be great for Yellowstone. We just have to find those connections and how to do that.
Well, Kevin Costner loves the bluesy.
Yeah.
Country part anyway. Like I know I've shot him before, you know, at Boots and Heart and a few of the other festivals I've done, but he loves this kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
So we're manifesting this one out there, Kevin Costner. We're doing that. Give me your rain. Come on, you got to put it on there. It's such a good song. There's got to be a place for it. Guarantee it.
Yeah.
Guarantee it. So favorite TV series for you, Scott?
Well, Yellowstone is up there. I don't watch, because I usually play games and stuff.
Okay.
But one that I'm re-watching now and I got Heidi into is Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, that's
so just as a good comedy one, like Ron Swanson, you can't beat. Like every episode has me laughing. I even started watching How I Met Your Mother again, too, so just some old series. I enjoyed when they were out, so, yeah, just kind of comedy ones, just light.
Yeah.
We
need those.
All the time, but yeah.
What's the other one that had Sam Elliott in it? They would like
The Ranch.
Yeah. The Ranch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That one you might like. Okay.
Yeah.
Biggest change in the music industry for you today, and that's for you, Scott.
Well, it's cheaper to make products.
I mean,
when we set out for this EP, it was basically so that we would have something to sell to our fans at shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we both played in the industry game with radio, know how tough it is, and you got to have the money to make the money kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we reached out to our friend, Grant, and he had just started kind of getting some recording equipment together, and like he's a great keyboard player, great musician, and just like, yeah, he's good at everything. He started my garage, he did that. He can do anything. But we had set out to like have it like pretty much what people would expect live.
Okay. Yeah.
But then it kind of got out of hand from there. And then, you know, when you're in the studio, you're just, you know, tinkering. I think this needs more guitar parts. You know what, Grant?
Yeah.
More guitar parts, you know. Yeah. And because we wanted to make it an experience, too, for people, if you're listening to the EP, that like there's a little bit more depth there than just, you know,
100%.
What would happen at the live show, but it's a good representation. You're not going to be disappointed when you come see us live. It sounds pretty much the same. So I think it was like doing that, like trying to get the best quality product for the least amount of investment on our end,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that we can actually like just, you know, it's just principle of good investing, good business plan, you know. And then, you know, what we did, like the EP is their actual like USB kind of credit card. Yeah, so rather than a CD, we decided to go that route, which has, you know, it has the 7 songs on the EP on it. It has 3 videos.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and the lyrics. And like pictures, you know, and stuff. So it has way more content than, say, a CD would, and it's way more affordable for us. And it just, it's great to, like, pack, like, 100 or 200 of them.
Oh, yeah.
In a little box, rather than thousands of CDs.
Well, we're hoping a lot of the international listeners out there, because, you know, in Australia and the UK, they have such a huge fan base, you know, for this kind of music. So it'll be really interesting to see how many requests you get. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. Because I know that they would absolutely love this one out there. So I know quite a few of the fans that, you know, are looking for this kind of content. So we are so excited to get it out there for them. So what about you, Heidi?
And that is available on the merch page, by the way.
Yes, it is. For Heidi, what about you for your biggest change in music industry today for you?
In the music industry, you know, I guess I was playing live when I was working 6 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it is playing live that has changed, like, the lack of venues and opportunities available.
Yeah, so hard.
It is, and, you know, and it's extremely just bad. It's absolutely heartbreaking, you know, not only from a financial, professional artist point of view, but to feel like sometimes the music's dying, you know, like live music. And I'm just so incredibly passionate about it, and we'll just fight for it, you know, all the time. And that's been just like a real stab in the heart for me, I think. There has been, you know, a lot of obvious changes in the music. You know, it's much more process-based. It's more technical. You know, a lot of times, it's not even made with real instruments, the stuff you hear on the radio. And that's tough, too, you know, because it's such an art. It is an incredible art that people spend their lives trying to master, you know, whether it's in your voice or in playing or whatever, and that you never will master it because you're always striving for more. And then to think that, you know, our mechanics and technology have kind of taken that over in a lot of ways.
It's sad.
But, you know, the positive is that our music can reach way more people with the internet and with social media and with podcasts and with there is opportunity for a way farther reach for way more people to know about us and our music with us sitting at home. And that is a very cool thing, you know, for us.
Especially right now, yeah.
Yeah, it is, you know, and, I mean, we hope to, a goal, like, next year or in the near future would be to go and tour somewhere overseas, you know, like, to get out of here and play. It's great that people really far away can hear what we're doing. So, yeah.
We're so excited for you guys in this duo and, you know, the music the two of you have put together, because the writing is phenomenal. Just the combination of the two of your voices is just incredible. And, you know, we are so excited, you know, about the music you guys got coming out. You got another show coming up as well. And that one's coming up on June 11th to 14th. It's coming up really soon.
Oh, yeah.
Festival, yeah.
So tell everybody about that.
Do you want to take that one, honey?
Yeah, of course. Okay. It is a production company, and we got a success and contacted us. And they were putting together a virtual show in support of Regina tourism, you know, for hotels and venues and businesses. And what they wanted to do was get, I think there's four of us, Saskatchewanites, on the bill. Four acts, yeah. Pretty heavy, visible acts in the province. And we went and did this performance. They put together this concert. And what they want to do is use this concert to be played in the hotels and businesses and gathering establishments in order to draw patrons and to fill those rooms, because the hospitality industry has suffered tremendously. It's crippled it. And, you know, it was a great cause, a great business model, and hopefully going to be sharing that with Saskatoon as well. So, you know, like, I mean, it's going to be going through the province, and that's, you know, I'm at the great show, and there's a couple of other virtual performances coming up, and we've got a couple of live performances coming up too. So, yeah.
Where can fans get a hold of you guys to see the latest music, merch, and videos and the live stream shows? What's the best place to look?
MonroePatrickMusic.com. Our website has all the links to it. You know, like Facebook, we're pretty active on. I guess, you know, we put up some new things that we're kind of trying out and stuff like that. YouTube, all over there. So, but the website's probably the best place. You know, there's a few merch items there, like the USB and some pictures, and just kind of all about us. So that'll be the best place.
We can put all that information out there for everybody, as well as to remind everybody to go to the merch page, because it's a big deal and it helps them to be able to get their music out there for you guys and to continue to write all the great stuff that they're putting out. So we're really looking forward to it. Thank you both once again. I have one last question. Heidi, most useless talent.
Most useless talent. Scott.
I don't even know. I'm like trying to think.
I don't know what a useless
talent is. Some people balance coins off their elbows. Some people can, I don't know. There's like so many different things we've had on the show, so it's pretty funny.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like,
do you have any imitations that you do, or?
Just the one I mentioned earlier.
Come on. This is the one that I was waiting for. I was leaving it right to the very end. So now, Heidi, you got to give us the imitation of Scott now.
It's like a real mock. I just mock him when I get really frustrated. When he gets bossy, when things have to go his way, I just always say, oh, yeah, well, you know, you're always there. You're good. And I always make his like, voice sound.
That was it.
I do that all the time to John too. So. All the time. He'll go, I don't sound like that. Go, well, I didn't say that. I'm talking about the emotion and the, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay.
I don't even sound like that.
That's all I ever hear from John. I don't sound like that. So that's the girl's point of view. Is like you're just annoying at that moment. So we're just trying to tell you, okay, this is what you sound like. Yes, but it's more in the lyrical end of it. So yeah.
Yeah.
John's laughing at me. This is like, oh boy. Okay, what about you? What about you, Scott?
My most useless talent. Well, besides video games, being really good at
video games. Yeah,
that one hasn't panned out for me yet. I'm still trying to figure out how to...
Chasing squirrels?
Useful talent. Useless talent. Like being able to annoy my daughter is something I'm really good at.
What is it about us parents that we live for that? To annoy our children.
I think it's just to see that look on their face, like when they roll their eyes, but you made them roll their eyes.
Let's see how we roll their eyes.
You know, when they roll them, when you're actually being serious, is another thing. But you know, when you think back, where they like, you know, they kind of pretend that they still like you, but.
So true.
Yeah, but it's fun.
My son always says to John, he'll always turn around and go, oh my God, yep, you did do that. You said that. Yeah, that's John.
Yeah. And if there's a crowd around, it's even better. So, yeah.
Exactly.
The dad jokes. Yeah. All right. So I'm hoping that you guys will come back as soon as you have your next release. That would be awesome. I know we did a longer interview with you guys this time because we wanted everybody to get to know you guys and, you know, get to know everything that you guys have been doing in your careers. So we really thank you both for coming on the show and being so patient with everything that's gone on for Lost. For us, it's been...
That is no problem.
Yeah. That's what we call life.
Yeah,
it is.
It happens, and unfortunately, we gotta work through those things. But I thank you both for being very understanding, and we thank you so much for coming on the show and telling us a little bit about... a little bit about your music journey and a little bit about life journey, and we look forward to seeing what the two of you can do coming up, because we are so ecstatic about this duo, and I know that everybody else is as well, and our international listeners are going to be so excited to hear both of you. And you guys got such great talent, both incredible voices and songwriting skills, and it's just everything. Now, what else do you have coming up in 2021 so everybody knows?
We're trying to put together, like, just smaller shows around here, you know, like backyard shows, outdoor shows. A lot of the fans that we, you know, did shows for in limited capacities last year. So, and just kind of waiting for theater stuff to open up and some of the venues around here to open up so we can actually play them. But it is like we've got a few, you know, it's been great how people responded last year during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Getting us to do shows and being very generous, and same this year, we're starting to see it kind of light at the end of the tunnel. So
yeah, let's hope.
We also have a show. It's something called Reopen My Music Saskatchewan, the 66 session. With Jack Semple and Chris Henderson that have reached out for the summer. You know, are we just kind of waiting to solidify what the restrictions are and how much is going to be lifted? And but we like really loved what we did last year. We loved all of our backyard parking lot shows, like anywhere outside, and we had a blast.
Oh yeah,
we played all summer and met all kinds of wonderful people. And you know, the blessing in that was is that if those spaces were bigger, we wouldn't have created the relationships we did. We wouldn't have made more connections. Shows and what we do, and we were really, really blessed. I like to work a lot.
Well, we're really excited, because I know that was a big one, too, that you did with Jack Semple and Chris Henderson.
Yeah.
So that, again, you were saying is coming back up in September, possibly, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then hopefully some other ones coming up, and the fans can take a look at your website. And say that again one more time for everybody.
www.monroepatrickmusic.com.
So well done. Well done.
Thank
you guys both for doing that, and we look forward to having you back on the show. It's been such a pleasure to get to know the two of you.
Thanks for having us, Kim.
Thank you very much for having us, Kim.
Well, we look forward to hearing you guys live, and hopefully it's going to be coming soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, you bet.
Okay,
you.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my very special guests, Heidi and Scott, here on Music's Journey, country's hottest new duo called Monroe and Patrick. You don't want to forget to get a copy of their title track for their debut EP called Give Me Your Rain. Out now. Purchase it, share it, and add it to all your socials and playlists. Request it at your local radio station as well, and they'll play it for you. It'll start getting added. And it does go a long way, so get out there and start adding this amazing song. You can see all the band information at www.monroepatrickmusic.com. When you do purchase, don't forget, this is really cool. They have their new EP, and it comes out on a USB card, and you can plug that into your computer, and it has all the 7 tracks on it. It has videos on it as well, and some pretty other cool information and stuff. So really unique way of getting your music. So I think that you're going to love it. Take a look at it and purchase it today. Our future podcasts include Elise Saunders, Jess, Jason Blaine, Jamie Warren, Danny Doucette, Featurette, and more. We are really looking forward to having you all back and tuning in, and we appreciate each and every one of you. I am your host, Kim Sear, here on Music's Journey. Take care and stay safe.
Once again, a great big thank you to Scott and Heidi for chatting with us today. Monroe and Patrick on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by nowandthenmagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Google Podcast, Amazon Music, Spotify, Player FM, Deezer, TuneIn, Alexa, Podcast Addicts, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, and many more. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.